It's opening day week, and on today's podcast, we're going to preview the upcoming season for the Atlanta Braves. I've brought in Grant McCauley to help me do so, and we're going to tell you everything that you need to know about the Atlanta Braves and how they're going to win their sixth straight division title. All that on today's episode of Locked On Braves, so let's get into it.
You are Locked On Braves, your daily Atlanta Braves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, where we cover your favorite Atlanta sports teams each and every day, and where me and Grant McCauley will bring you the postcast just about every game this upcoming season. So make sure that you're subscribed to Locked On Sports Atlanta on YouTube. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at @Locked_On_Braves. You can follow me at @ShortstopBall. Also, make sure if you are new on YouTube here at Locked On Braves, you hit that subscribe button. Up over 4,500 followers now or subscribers on YouTube. So appreciate all of the support. If you're watching this video, please do me a favor, hit that thumbs up button to help support the show. And thanks as always for making Locked On Braves your first listen of each and every day. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And it is opening day week as we're recording this on Tuesday night. We're just a couple of days away from Braves baseball in the 2023 season getting underway. So to do that, I wanted to bring in Grant McCauley to help preview the upcoming season. Grant, so excited to have you back. And we almost are there. It's just about time for opening day.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've been counting it down for quite some time, and now we're here. It's almost like Christmas Eve or something like that. And, you know, it might be a little bit hard to sleep on Wednesday night once this whole thing just kind of becomes the realization that, hey, tomorrow we get baseball back. But, hey, we got a few things to talk about and maybe to pontificate upon, maybe a couple of different projections, predictions, those kinds of things before the games start for real. And even then, we're going to have all kinds of discussion all season long, as you mentioned, on Locked On Sports Atlanta. Excited to do the postcast with you again this season.
Yeah, so excited. I had so much fun doing that last year. I know you did as well, so I'm really looking forward to that. And we are almost there. And I want to know, Grant, because I got a couple of baseball movies that I watch before the season starts. I tweeted out the other day, me and my wife watch Fever Pitch. It's about the only baseball movie that she will watch through with me, and she still fell asleep halfway through that one. Well, do you have a go-to movie before opening day that you watch?
Gosh, I should. I don't think that I've ever had that be part of my tradition, but now hearing that, it makes an awful lot of sense. So if I had to pick one that just kind of gets me primed for baseball, I'm one of those that thinks that Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck is one of the best baseball movies of all time. That would be on my short list. I've also been a fan of Gary Cooper's Pride of the Yankees for a very long time. So maybe I could go a little bit newer school, a little bit old school, and kind of do a doubleheader.
Wow. Okay. Those are nice. Yeah, I'll be starting Field of Dreams tonight. That's usually my go-to, like right before opening day. I get, you know, go for the Field of Dreams right there. That gets me in the mood for sure. But before we start getting into the preview of the actual regular season, I want to go back and do a recap of spring training because a lot transpired over spring training for the Atlanta Braves. You may have thought it was going to be a quiet spring training because most of the positions were locked up. That was not the case. Things did not go down the way we thought they would at shortstop or the fifth starter spot. A lot of the outfielders performed really well. It was an exciting spring training. There was a lot to talk about, but I want to go back even further than that, Grant, because you were there at the beginning. You were there when everything started. I wanted to start there and just kind of get your thoughts and feel for the team and what you saw while you were at spring training.
Yeah, it was 10 really great days, and that was my first chance to get a good look at the Northport facility. And let me tell you, I mean, the Braves, they did it right. And talking to Brian Snitker, one thing he said about that is we wanted to build a facility that really invited people to come here early and get your work in. You want to be in this place. And they found that to be true because the majority of the club was there early. They were working. They were getting themselves ready. And that was fun to kind of, you know, have that kind of back to school feeling, and everybody is happy to see one another. Lots of baseball discussions. And then it's nice to watch guys put on the uniforms, get out on the field, start hitting, you know, watching bullpens. It's always, I think, one of the things that lets me know, hey, baseball is right around the corner because I'm back around, you know, baseball players doing baseball activity. So that aside, I really feel like the vibe for this club was extremely positive, and why wouldn't it be? They have just such a well-constructed roster. I think that, you know, chemistry-wise, leadership-wise, I know there were some questions over the course of the offseason. Dansby Swanson's not back, but all of the guys that I talked to just seem to say, hey, we love Dansby. We loved having him as a teammate. We don't see it being a problem for us to be motivated and to have the, you know, the right direction, if you will, as an overall club. And I would say that to a man, everybody feels like that part of it is their responsibility. And I think that's kind of the group dynamic that the Braves have. And it's something that I think Brian Snitker has done a very nice job of, allowing this team to find its personality each year, giving them the space that they need, but then also leading them out there onto the field and into the things and through the times that they need to be led through. So a lot of positivity down there. There were some storylines that were going to be questions. As I mentioned, no Dansby. We heard all winter, Vaughn Grissom, he's going to be the next guy. He's going to spend some time with Ron Washington. He's going to get himself ready. And I didn't see him do anything this spring to lose that starting shortstop job. Let me say that first. I was surprised by Braden Shoemake, and that's a huge positive because he had kind of stalled out a little bit as a prospect. So it was fun to watch both of those guys, and I'm interested to see, and I'm going to go visit them in Gwinnett some and kind of pick their brain a little bit on what they're going to be looking to do, because they know they're just a phone call away from the major leagues at this point. Vaughn's been up. I'm sure Braden Shoemake would like to get that call at some point this year too. And how about Orlando Arcia? He just surprised folks. And after he got named starting shortstop, I think he went 10 for his last 20 in spring training. So he hit pretty well. And then the fifth starter, as you mentioned, that kind of came out of nowhere to have a couple of rookies take over all the names we know, the guys I called the usual suspects. So we did get some interesting stories, little bit of injury news with Kyle Ryan and Raisel Iglesias we can get into. But for the most part, I think this was a pretty good spring training for the Braves.
Yeah, I think it was as well. One of my biggest concerns going into spring training was lack of depth, and in particular, lack of middle infield depth. But now you look at Gwinnett, and we talked about this the other day when we spoke, that Gwinnett team is going to be fun to watch. And there's a lot of players down there to really keep your eye on. I mean, now you have Vaughn Grissom and Braden Shoemake down there who you feel pretty good about based on what they did in spring training, which I know is a limited sample size and you can't put a lot of stock into, but I feel much better about the depth of this team. You look at the outfield as well, guys like Eli White and Forrest Wall, who performed well in spring and perhaps could have an impact at some point this year. So that to me was one of the bigger takeaways, is I feel much better about that depth. And then going back to what you alluded to at the beginning of your comment, everybody that you saw interviewed during the season or during the spring training talked about the chemistry of this team and how much, you know, they love being around each other. And I'm sure every player on every team says that, but you really do feel it. I mean, from the behind the scenes episodes that you watch that the Braves put out that I think are great. I mean, this team just really seems to love being around each other and playing for each other. And when you talk about the fact that they've lost Freddie Freeman, they've lost Dansby Swanson, and everybody's talking, where's the leadership? This clubhouse is going to fall apart. It doesn't feel like that's the case at all. It just feels like, if anything, they're even more closer now.
I think so. And all of these guys realize, I mean, part of this is there is a business aspect of baseball that, you know, the names are going to change. The teammates that you had last year, they're not all going to be able to come back the next year for a variety of reasons. Guys get traded, they get released, they sign as a free agent somewhere else. Maybe you make a big, exciting new acquisition, and the guy you bring in all of a sudden becomes kind of a focal part of your clubhouse, a focal part of your lineup or your rotation or your bullpen, whatever it is. I think that you've just got a whole group of professionals. And again, you know, Brian Snitker's coaching staff also, and it's not just Snit, but Rick Kranitz working with the pitchers, Ron Washington and Eric Young, all the way on down to having Eddie Perez around. Sal Fasano is, I think, a wealth of knowledge that helps the Braves catchers. There's just so many good aspects of how the Braves have built this organization so that you never feel like, all right, well, so-and-so is not back, so what are we going to do? You know that they already know what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, and it's just a matter of going out and doing it. And I do think they have veteran players, whether it's Travis d'Arnaud or Charlie Morton, Jesse Chavez, who's around as far as the pitcher side is concerned. How about a young leader like an Ozzie Albies, who I really think the Braves are going to take a lot of cues from this year, because he's a dynamic personality that brings a lot of positivity. But I also think with that, Ozzie brings a lot of day-to-day accountability. And I really like seeing him in the middle of basically everything. He's always smiling. He's always having fun. But when it's time to get intense and it's time to compete, Ozzie Albies is going to be out there doing those things too. So I do think it's a great room. I'll put it that way. I'm not in there all the time, but from the experience that I get to have in talking to some of those guys and just observing. This is a team that loves playing together. And typically, as we see teams that love playing together, they do some winning. And the Braves have done a lot of that in the last 5 years.
They do. And I think Ozzie being back this season, hopefully healthy all season, I think he becomes kind of one of those leaders in the clubhouse. So I think it's going to be big for him coming back. Now, before we move on from spring training and get into the regular season, there any other takeaways for you from spring training? Anything that stood out, impressed you, anything that concerned you?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about Dylan Dodd and Jared Schuster, because I know getting down there those first few days, there was a list, if you will. I don't know if it's a pecking order, but there was definitely a list of candidates for the fifth spot in rotation that you felt pretty good about. You know, if your fifth starters, Ian Anderson or Bryce Elder, well, Ian's had success with his club on the biggest stage possible. Bryce Elder showed that he could give you something down the stretch last year. And then you had your fingers crossed for Michael Soroka to be part of this whole thing too. But those three guys are going to find themselves starting their season in Gwinnett. So I'm looking forward to talking to those guys when I head up to Cool Today Park and talk to some of them, you know, on Wednesday. But then seeing Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd just take that opportunity and run with it. They're attacking the strike zone. They're missing bats. They're doing the things that the Braves needed to see to believe these guys can keep us competitive, and we're going to give them those starts to open the season. So that was eye-opening, I think, in a great opportunity kind of way. As far as concerns, I don't know that I have really any. I mean, clearly not having Kyle Wright at full strength to start the year, you hope that that's just something that only lasts for a couple of weeks. Same thing with Raisel Iglesias. So I don't know if there's super concerns, but you'd like to have your 20-game winner from last year. You'd like to have your closer in place as you get started. But I thought Kyle Wright just had such a great attitude about it where, yeah, he wants to be out there. He wants to be competing, but he understands it's part of the process and that there's no reason to play hero in the month of April. He wants to be here for the long haul all season long. So hopefully we'll see him get back, as I said, sooner than later. So those are kind of the things that step out or that stand out to me as we get ready for opening day. I'm sure there'll be more stories as we march through the season, but it's a well-constructed team with a lot of quality depth, and I think that that's the thing that great teams do as well. That's another hallmark. You want to have a well-constructed 40-man roster, not just a 26-man roster.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something a lot of us Braves fans learned this spring, is that the Braves front office, they're looking big picture. They're looking 162, and depth is very important over that. While fans are more so, microscopic. We're looking at the here and the now.
Sure.
And I'm glad we have leadership like that, because I think it is the smart decision, even though I would have been perfectly fine with Vaughn Grissom getting the shortstop job. I believe he played well enough to earn that opportunity, but Braves are looking at 162. We may see Vaughn Grissom up soon, but that was the one thing that, definitely surprised me this spring. But again, Grissom looked great. Shoemaker looked great. The depth that the Braves now have is one of the reasons why I think they have a great chance of repeating as the NL East champ. So I think the front office and everybody has done a great job there. So now let's move our attention to the 2023 season, because again, opening day is coming around just tomorrow, and quickly tomorrow, because it is going to be a noon Central game, one Eastern game on Thursday afternoon. So we'll talk about that here next. It is opening day week, and so now is the perfect time to get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line, point scores, run scores, whatever it may be. You can do it over at FanDuel. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Also, visit FanDuel.com/PlaySafe for tools and resources to help you stay in control of the way you play. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. A lot of great content on the podcast this week as we get geared up for the regular season. Grant, I want to just let everybody know real quick what you're going to be doing this year as well, because I'm not going to lie, I can't keep up with everything you do for the Braves. So go ahead and let everybody know where they can catch your work this upcoming season.
Yeah, thanks. A ton of content. Obviously, I'm with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. I've got my show From the Diamond, which is available wherever you get your podcast. If you're in the Atlanta area, should be settling into a late afternoon or early evening slot somewhere in that 4 to 6 or 5 to 7 range. We're still working on all of that, but I'll be with you on Sunday, late afternoons, early evenings. If you miss anything in the show, you can always catch it in the podcast form. It'll be out on Sunday night. I'm also doing Locked On Sports Atlanta's Braves postcast with Jake. Excited to do as many games as we can cram in. And you can also find me with Braves Game Day Now, which is a Valley Sports production. So if you want to catch up with the Braves in just a couple of minutes and find out what happened in the game each and every day, I'm going to be bringing it to you every single game. So you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Braves Game Day Now is what that one is called. And if you're looking for links for social or anything else, I'm at Grant McCauley pretty much everywhere. But FromTheDiamond.com is a great place to catch up on all of the mini projects, all the plates that I've got spinning throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, you want Braves baseball coverage, there's no better place to go than Grant. So make sure you follow him on Twitter and all the places where he's doing all those amazing things that he'll be doing for this upcoming season, trying to bring you great Atlanta Braves content. All right, Grant, let's get into our season preview here. Just kind of want to hit on the big notes here, overarching themes that you see. I know we kind of talked about, you know, your takeaways from spring training, but now looking forward, what are you most excited to see? I know there's a lot of exciting things to see with this Atlanta Braves team, but what has you most excited for this upcoming season for the Atlanta Braves?
I think that this offense that was so good a year ago has a chance to be even better in 2023. And there are a few reasons that I think that. Number one, you go out and you get Sean Murphy to pair with Travis d'Arnaud. I think that the Braves are going to have one of the best catching duos, tandems, also offensively and working with this pitching staff. I don't know that the Braves necessarily needed a catcher, but if you're going to go out and make a trade and get a catcher and lock him up long-term, Sean Murphy was the guy. So I know that move might have come out of, no pun intended, left field, but that's a move that I think makes this club stronger, not just this year, but into the future. Then you start to look all around this infield. You've got Matt Olson, who may be primed to have another career year. Getting rid of the shift is one thing, but the way he's been swinging the bat and the slight adjustments it appears that he's made to his stance lead me to believe that he's primed for a huge year. But how about across the diamond? Austin Riley, I think, could be flirting with more MVP votes. Should be another all-star year for him. Excited to see what he does as he continues to establish himself as one of the best third basemen. Then how about healthy Ozzie Albies and healthy Ronald Acuna Jr.? I don't know if it gets much more exciting, much more dynamic than that. Yeah. How about we top it all off with a healthy Eddie Rosario, who's a guy that was kind of a forgotten man in a lost season last year. I tweeted this out, and I've talked about it on a number of different shows and call-ins that I've done. The Braves got 28 home runs out of Ronald Acuna Jr., Ozzie Albies, and Eddie Rosario last year combined. Think about what it could mean if those guys get back to just career norms. I'm not telling you Acuna's got to hit 45 home runs or that Ozzie's got to hit 30 again or Eddie Rosario's got to hit 30, but you just get 25 to 30 home runs apiece, which is not out of the realm of possibility from those three guys. All of a sudden, that's another 75 homers in the Braves lineup, or at least another 50 over what they had the year before. And I think that kind of takes the pressure off of whoever was going to be the shortstop. They were never going to have to carry this team, whether it was a youngster like Vaughn Grissom or whether it's a veteran like Orlando Arcia. Hey, go out there, make the plays, bat ninth, try not to strike out a whole bunch, try not to hit into a bunch of double plays in front of Ronald Acuna Jr., and you're pretty much going to be able to do the job. Year two of Michael Harris, I think he can take some huge steps forward. I think the power is going to show up even bigger this year, which should be pretty exciting because he was almost a 2020 player in his rookie year. And then you just look at some of the depth and the possibilities that the Braves have in both their outfield mix and their DH mix. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, it's time to believe in Marcell Ozuna getting back to his 2020 form, but he showed some signs of life this spring that I don't think we've seen a whole lot of the last couple of years. Maybe he'll be able to be a contributor this year. You start to do the math on this whole thing. I guess what I'm saying, at long story short, this is a club that's capable of hitting, what, 250, 275 home runs? That may sound ridiculous, but I think it's in the realm of possibility if this club is clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, it's definitely in the realm of possibility. I mean, I grew up in the 90s. I know you did as well. I think this is maybe the most exciting team on paper I've ever seen as a Braves fan. I mean, you look at the depth of this lineup, and as you said, you know, just about every guy in there is capable of hitting 20-plus home runs, and you have at least three guys at the top that I think are going to be in the race for the MVP this year, and Acuna, Olson, and Riley.
Yeah.
I mean, you just mentioned it. I asked you, what's your most exciting thing to watch? You mentioned every player on the roster. I mean, and that's understandable because I am seriously really excited to watch all of these guys play. And just, you know, you hope they're healthy all season long. You hope Acuna's back to full strength and everything, you know, is looking that way, especially when he hit one into orbit the other day. That was certainly great to see. But let's pause the breaks for a second. what is one thing that concerns you about this team? Is it left field? If we're going to be pessimistic for a second, is it shortstop? Is it that fifth starter? What is your biggest concern for this team? Because everything on paper says that they got what it takes to win another division, to compete for a World Series. But if there's something that holds them up, what do you believe it would be?
If I do have a concern or something that I kind of need to see it, like kind of in a prove it way, I don't know that you can look beyond the two rookies that the Braves are poised to at least utilize in the first two series of the year. Remember, we saw this back in 2019 when Kyle Wright made the starting rotation and Bryce Wilson made the starting rotation. That did not last very long. Now, I don't know that the plan necessarily for one of these two men, whether it's Jared Schuster or Dylan Dodd, is going to last incredibly long in rotation just because of the hopeful return of Kyle Wright in the month of April. But I got to see, what can these two guys do? They showed everything you possibly needed to see in the spring. Are they going to be able to hold up that end of the bargain against major league lineups more than just a time through? What about that second or maybe that third time through? Maybe you're not asking that much from some rookies, and you do have bullpen depth, so you're going to be able to kind of manage around this as well. And early in the season, I don't think you're going to see the starting pitchers being asked to go 7 or 8 innings. I don't know that too many are asked to go 8 innings every time out. But be that as it may, you're also down Raisel Iglesias. So a couple of little things that I would say that I just want to see the Braves get back to full health with. I don't know that I'm that worried about left field because of how good Eddie Rosario has looked in this spring. I mean, he was torching the ball in the World Baseball Classic. He came back. He's hitting home runs. That is exciting because that didn't happen a lot last year. Again, Marcelo Zuna kind of is who he is, but can he get back to what he was? That would certainly be nice. But the Braves also are throwing a lot of quality depth. Sam Hilliard looked great in the spring. Kevin Pillar looks like he's poised to, you know, grab a spot on the opening day roster. He's a veteran that's got some experience, some power, and some versatility for him. And then if that's not working out, Jordan Luplo, Eli White, you've got a couple of other names you can call on. So I love the depth that this club has. I mean, yeah, shortstop may be something that is reassessed in April, May, June. We don't know what it's going to look like. I'm hoping that the swing changes that Orlando Arce has made since he came over from Milwaukee are going to give the Braves the kind of production they're expecting out of him. That's what Alex Anthopoulos seems to believe, is that there's a little bit more in the tank than the first time that he was an everyday player back in Milwaukee 5-6 years ago. So we're going to find that out together. But again, the depth of this club is going to be tested. That to me is always the question mark. Are the guys going to be able to step up when that next man is called? If they can, I think they're going to be in a great position. If some falter, if injuries crop up, we're going to find out exactly how well the Braves can cover for some of those losses, because they got tested big time in 2022 and they won 101 games. And this club, Jake, does feel better than the one we just saw last year.
Yeah, I gave my season predictions yesterday and I predicted 97 wins, but I also said, I think this team's better and deeper than last year's team. So I certainly think they're capable of winning 100 plus games again. That's just really hard to predict because it's really difficult to win 100 games, but it would not shock me at all because of that depth. Like I said, you know, if Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd come up and, you know, they get the deer in the headlights with the big lights on, which is possible, making that mental hurdle is that last real big step. But if they don't, I mean, you have guys in Ian Anderson who have done it before. And yes, I know he hasn't looked good. You have guys in Bryce Elder who's had success at the big league level. Michael Soroka, make sure you're saying Michael now. He could be back at some point, you know, perhaps end of May or end of April, maybe early May. I don't want to put timetables on him, but, you know, there's depth there. You know, there are guys there. And I think that's what makes this Braves team so different. Not that they haven't had great depth in years past, but I just think this team is really deep. If Arcia comes out and he can't get it done as an everyday player, then you bring up Grissom or you bring up Shumake, whoever's performing the best at AAA at that time. If Rosario's not getting it done, you have Hilliard there. If he's not getting it done, you have guys waiting in the outfield at AAA to get an opportunity. The same for Ozuna. I just think there's so much depth here for this team that you're going to need over 162, that when Ozzie Albies goes down last year and then Arcia gets injured, you're not calling up guys with limited experience at the lower levels. And I know Grissom did well, and obviously Michael Harris did what he did, but you're not in that panic mode to try to call up guys who you don't know how they're going to react and they're unproven. So I just think that is the biggest key for me this upcoming season with the Braves is their depth. Now, I want to touch on Ozuna again. I know you talked about him a couple times, because for me, again, the last two seasons have been bad. And I wrote about this in an article today at Braves Today, but if it wasn't for that $36 million price tag, he's no longer on this roster, in my opinion.
Right.
But the Braves desperately need to get something out of him. And I think this is kind of his last shot. And he has looked good in spring training, and all the reports, you know, that we've heard from Brian Snitker said, you know, that he looks good and he looks engaged and he looks in shape and all that, everything that you want to hear in spring training, but it's got to happen in the regular season. And we need to see something from him because, again, we've seen 2 years now of him just not being a huge factor. And if he's as that is like that again to start the year, I think there's got to be a shorter leash on him this season with all that depth that we just talked about and guys who could be deserving of an opportunity. I just think the leash is going to be pretty short for him this year.
I'm interested to see how long it would last and how the at-bats are going to go, because there are a few things that are clearly going to work against him. If Eddie Rosario is healthy and productive, I think Eddie's going to see a lot of time in left field. Now, I don't think anybody's lining up to say, hey, Marcell Ozuna needs to be out in left field for some very obvious defensive liability reasons that we've all seen. But if Ozuna doesn't hit and the Braves need to utilize some right-handed power at DH, they could tap on Travis d'Arnaud or Sean Murphy if they're not catching that day. And that's something I know has already been discussed. I mean, both Murphy and d'Arnaud talked about that prior to spring training, way back at Braves Fan Fest. Hey, the one of us that's not catching, we may see some at-bats at DH. And you go look at what Sean Murphy has done. You might look at him offensively and say, yeah, he's got a little bit of power, but he hasn't really put it all together. Go inside his numbers and look at his splits at the Coliseum. He is a completely different hitter outside of Oakland. So you put him in a place like Truist Park for half of his games, I think that you're going to see, this is not hyperbole. This should be a career offensive year for Sean Murphy. If he's doing the things that he has done throughout his career, he's just going to be in a much more hitter-friendly position, I think, in Truist Park. And clearly he hit just fine on the road otherwise. But yeah, Ozuna is just not going to have the opportunity to, you know, just create a log jam at that spot simply because he is owed $36, $37 million. But I do think it's one of the big reasons why the Braves didn't go out and throw more money at left field on like a bigger contract type person, like a JD Martinez or somebody that you're going to pay $10, $12 million to, because you already have Eddie Rosario and you had Marcell. But as we've gone through his contract, now I think you are kind of getting to the point, you know, the decision point, I guess, the tipping point, like we saw with Dan Uggla, for example. The Braves didn't want to have to eat that contract. They wanted him to get right. It just didn't happen, and eventually they had to cut him, and they did. Would that be the case with Ozuna too? Yeah, I think it would be. When would that happen? Would this be like a second-half move? Would it be, you know, early on? I don't really know, but if he's able to go out there and produce, Brian Snitker said, we're going to try to find ways to utilize him. If he's right, Marcell is a guy that does lengthen that lineup and bring an awful lot of power. But unfortunately, it's not just talking about the slumps that have gone on the last couple of years, the injuries, the inconsistency, but he's also had some problems off the field, as is well documented. Yeah. So how long can the Braves continue to deal with all of those things? What's it all going to add up to? If you're able to go produce on the field, that would certainly go a long way towards kind of reversing what has been a very frustrating contract thus far with Marcell Ozuna. But when would we reach that decision point? I guess we'd only find out if it all goes wrong. The Braves are kind of hoping it'll go right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they definitely are. I mean, they want to get something out of him, a contract that, you know, as great as Alex Anthopoulos has been as a GM and as many great decisions as he's made, this is probably one that he regrets a little bit at this point. But if you can get something out of him this year, if he can get back, not to the 2020 levels, because I don't know that we ever see that again. He was flirting with a triple crown that season. Right. So, give somebody can hit 25, 30 home runs, which I think he's capable of doing, and get that walk rate back up. His walk rate last year was 6%. I mean, just, you know, you got to see some better at bats from him. He can't, and it's weird to say this, he can't just give you home runs. You know, every team would love to have that problem, have a guy that can only hit home runs for you, but there's got to be something in between there, because there's just too many hot and cold streaks in between those home runs that he becomes such a negative for you offensively. So I think that's going to be something that's big to watch in the first half of the season, because what I've been saying on the podcast for a while, that I think midseason this year is that point, that if we're just not seeing signs of improvement, then I think that's when the Braves could potentially pulled the trigger on him. But again, like you said, they're hoping that's not the case. They're hoping he gets off to a good start and starts to live up to that contract a little bit. All right, next, I want to get Grant's predictions for the upcoming season. Braves MVP, Braves Cy Young, as well as division and World Series winners. We'll do that here next. If you want to be the next Alex Anthopoulos and you want to test out your skills, then I got the fantasy game just for you. Ultimate Pro Baseball GM. You got to go download this app. It's a mobile game. It lets you manage your own professional franchise to try and build and win a World Series champion. Manage every strategic aspect of your team. Play through the season and lead your team to glory. You're responsible for hiring the right coaches and staff, managing team finances, scouting and drafting players, managing difficult personalities even, navigating your franchise through free agency, all the ups and downs of a season, all this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free and playable offline. Play on the go as you want and when you want. And Locked On Braves listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in all caps when you're in the game store. So make sure you check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com, scan the code, or look it up on the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com, Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. All right, Grant, I did my season predictions on yesterday's podcast, so now I'm putting you on the hot seat. Want to get some of your predictions for the upcoming season, and you will very much be judged by the results of these predictions. Let's start with the big one here, and we talked about it. I think the Braves have a couple of guys who are going to compete for the overall NL MVP, but who is going to be your Braves MVP for 2023?
Fortunately for me, on Sunday night in the Atlanta area, I was on 11 Alive, and I've done a segment like this, so I have my answers ready when you rung me up to do this. So I know they've got some candidates, and Matt Olson, Spring, which should have you feeling like, hey, this could be an MVP, because it could be. Austin Riley's last two seasons could very easily lead him into a year in which he could win the MVP, but I am going to say once again that Ronald Acuña Jr., is the Braves MVP. He is the best player on this team when healthy, especially. And even when he's been kind of at half speed at times, he's still been better than most players on the field. But we didn't see that dynamic player in 2022 very often. It was flashes of that player. I think between having a normal offseason, getting to play some winter ball, getting to play in the World Baseball Classic, and just being further removed from all the rehab of the comeback from the knee injury, that this is a guy that's going to be reinvigorated. I think he's going to run more. In fact, I asked him about that way back at Braves Fan Fest. Hey, these new bigger bases, is that more enticing? He said, look, let me get on first, but if I'm on, I'm always looking to run. We could see a career high in stolen bases this year, but we all want to see the power. 15 home runs in a season, that's not Ronald Acuña Jr. type numbers. So I think he's going to get back to that 2021 level. Ozzie Albies said that, hey, I think Ronald's going to be better than he was at 2019 when he was nearly a 40-40 player. So I think everybody's looking at this guy and expecting him to get back to the dynamic player who is one of the very best in baseball. So Braves MVP, I'm going to go Ronald Acuña Jr. I think he's going to have a career year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That was my pick as well. Just for me, and as I said on yesterday's podcast, if he's healthy, he's not only the best player on the Braves, I think he's the best player in all of baseball. And I think he has a legitimate chance at a 40-40 season. I want to see it so badly. He just missed it in 2019. So I want to see that for him. I really just, as a fan, and I know obviously as a Braves fan, but as just as a baseball fan, we deserve a full healthy season of Ronald Acuña Jr. because yeah. I just think he's going to put up ridiculous numbers. I think he's going to show that he is the best player in all of baseball. And I hope it happens this season for him. And I think he wins that NL MVP award, not just the Braves MVP award. Now, your Braves Cy Young. I think this is going to be a battle. I'm interested to know who you pick for the Braves Cy Young.
Well, I'm going to go with the National League Cy Young runner-up in 2022. I'm going to go with Max Fried. I think that there's, number one, been this maturity of Max that we have seen year after year after year. Somehow he finds a way to elevate his game and take it to the next level. He did it in 2019. Then he came back in 2020, took that next step forward. I think he's done it each of the last 2 years. He has got the cerebral part of this game down as well as anybody. He's throwing five or six different pitches now. It seems like he just keeps coming up with more weapons. He's moving the ball around. He is pitching in a way that just elevates not only just his stuff, but his arsenal. And he's always looking for ways to get better. And the same things could probably be said about Spencer Strider in terms of, you know, the cerebral aspect of his game. And I know that Spencer is one of those proponents of, I always want to be 1% better than I was yesterday. That's a great mindset. And he's got the arm talent that very few pitchers in baseball have. So who's to bet against him? But I just think Max Fried has just got the full package right now, and has been trending in this direction. To be a Cy Young runner-up last year, I think, was something that he never thought was going to be something that he would accomplish. So why not continue to do the things that you could only dream of? And I think that Max Fried, he doesn't need to be dreaming about being a Cy Young. I think he could be the National League Cy Young this year.
He definitely could be. And again, I think the Braves have two very legitimate candidates for this award. And I agree with you to the fact that until somebody knocks Fried off that mantle on the Braves, where he's been their ace for several years, I think he, you know, deserves that title. But I did go with Spencer Strider just because I think the dominance of what he does, you know, gets more eyes and gets more, you know, value from the voters' side of things. And I know, you know, nobody's voting on a Braves Cy Young, but I'm talking about overall Cy Young.
Yeah.
I've said, you know, I've said Spencer Strider could have that Corbin Burns type year that he had a couple of seasons ago when he won the award. You know, if he just gets to 170, 175 innings, but he does it in such a dominating fashion like he did last year, I think he'd have a legitimate case to win the overall NL Cy Young just because of the dominating fashion in which he pitches. You know, you're talking about just absolutely manipulating hitters and outthinking hitters, which I think Strider does as well, but Fried does that maybe better than anyone, you know, with that pitch mix and the way that he just keeps hitters off balance. You know, it really is great as a Braves fan. You get to see it done in two different ways. You get to see an overpowering guy in Strider who has two elite pitches in his fastball and slider and can dominate some of the best lineups in baseball. And then you got a guy in Fried who's throwing five pitches and he's keeping hitters off balance, and it's just really fun, you know, more of that Maddox Glavine type pitching that we saw in the 90s. So you get to really see best of both worlds in pitching, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for Braves fans this year to watch those two just display it in day in and day out. Now, we've talked about some candidates for this next one, but comeback player of the year. I think the Braves have some very solid candidates for this, but who do you think could be a comeback player of the year for the Braves?
I'm going to spread this around because the simple answers might be to just go with a Ronald Acuna Jr. or go with an Ozzie Albies, but I'm going to go with Eddie Rosario because I feel like his comeback is an important story that kind of goes under the radar because, of course, with Ozzie and his age and, you know, what he's done as a second baseman to have that offensive profile, that's something the Braves very much need to bounce back to its normal level. And if it does, that's going to be something that went incredibly right here in 2023. And I already said a lot of nice things about Ronald Acuna Jr. Just tack those all into a reason why he could be the Braves comeback player of the year. But for Eddie, last year was such a lost season and he tried to grind through that, but there is no getting over not being able to see without going and having it addressed. And that's what he had to do. I mean, he was doing all kinds of different things. He was wearing different contacts. He just couldn't solve it. He couldn't figure it out. But what he has done in both, you know, getting that surgery, coming back last year, getting a little bit of time, but not really seeming like himself, going home in the offseason, working extremely hard on a lot of hand-eye coordination just to kind of rebuild, I think, as much as anything, some of the muscle memory and some of the reflex that you need to be able to trust your eyes as a baseball player, as a hitter. And so I think that he's really been able to close that gap and get back to the kind of player that we saw when he came off the injured list in 2021. And more importantly than that, maybe just the kind of player that he was in some of those bigger years he had with the Minnesota Twins. He has one of those type Minnesota years in left field for the Braves this season. That's a huge bounce back, and that's kind of what I'm seeing just based on how hard he's hitting the ball this spring through the World Baseball Classic, what I got to see over the first 10 days I was down there. This looks like a reinvigorated Eddie Rosario, and I expect big things from him this year.
Yeah, I think people forget. You look at the first, you know, 5 years or so of Eddie Rosario's career, this guy's a 270 hitter with, you know, 20 to 30 home run power. And it was a very consistent player for a long time. And he gets back to those levels. And again, it's hard to hit the baseball when you can't see it. So now that he can, it is, you know, I'm excited about his season as well. All right, let's get into what the fans really want to know. And are the Braves going to win their sixth straight NL East division title? Who do you have winning the NL East?
I've got the Braves winning the National League East, and that's not to say anything about the Mets not putting all the money that they could into it or the Phillies going out and spending big. And the fact, hey, all due respect, the Phillies didn't win the most games in the NL East last year. They finished in third place, but they made it all the way to the World Series. So I think you've got to respect what they have, you know, the capability that they have. And they went out and got Trey Turner, the biggest Braves killer that you can possibly find. And then they get their other Braves killer, Bryce Harper, back maybe sooner than they initially expected. So with the adds they've had on the pitching staff side, I think the Phillies are going to take a step forward this year. The Mets losing Edwin Diaz certainly hurts. I'm kind of bullish on their rotation. Like, I think it could be good. I also think it could go through some of the same things it's gone through the last few years, which is people straining obliques or lats or other things. I mean, we've already seen, I think Jose Quintana is not going to be available for 3 months. Kodai Senga had a finger issue. I don't know if that'll be something that lingers throughout the course of the season. Justin Verlander looked really good last year and no limitations from Tommy John for him. Max Scherzer has broken down a couple times in the last 2 years. It's a great rotation. They have a very capable lineup. They've brought back a lot of regulars that they had. They signed a couple of extensions to some of their core players. We'll see if Pete Alonso is the next guy that does. But just in running down all those names in both of those teams, I mean, I expect this to be a three-way battle. But all those teams or both of those teams are spending all that money to try to unseat the Braves. I mean, yeah, you want to get to October any which way you can, and you can get hot and go on a run. The Phillies proved it last year. But both of those teams would like to be the top team in the NL East and have maybe a little bit more control of one's destiny. So we'll see if over 162 games are able to do it. Less meetings head-to-head this year because you've got all 30 teams on the schedule for one another as opposed to 19 divisional battles all season long. I think it's, what, 13 this year between the clubs? So what will six less opportunities to go head-to-head against these teams mean? Think about what if the Braves had run out of head-to-head battles with the Mets in late September last year and couldn't sweep them away in that series. That could be one of the kind of the low-key things to watch throughout the course of the season. So we'll see how it all plays. But I got the Braves winning the NL East for the sixth consecutive year. I think it'll be close. It was close last year, and it could look a lot like that this year.
Yeah, I think it certainly will be. Do you think the Phillies and Mets get one of those wild card spots? You see all three teams getting in again? Yeah, I do as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I could. Yeah.
I think they do. I think they're going to be three of the better teams. I worry about the Phillies' depth a little bit, and I kind of already talked about this on yesterday's podcast, but I think all three teams do get into the postseason again. Hopefully this time it's the Braves who have a deep run, but it's going to be a fun division to watch. And I think you make a great point about the schedule now and those games being just that much more important when you play those division games, when you play the Mets and the Phillies for that tiebreaker. I mean, when the added games last year, it still became very important that the Braves had to sweep that last series or else they go into that wild card round and perhaps they don't even make it to the division series last year. So, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch for sure. Now, last one, World Series prediction. Do you have a World Series prediction for us?
I think that as you look at the American League, it's hard to look at any other team than the Houston Astros because they just keep showing up there every single year. The Braves knocked them off in 2021. They knocked off the Phillies last year. I think it's going to be a Braves and Astros World Series. And that might be the most boring prediction ever, but I just feel like these are the two best teams in baseball, the Astros and the American League. They're going to have some competition. There are clearly some other teams that have gone out and, you know, loaded up and are hoping to make it all the way to the World Series there. The Astros are, they're kind of the, you know, the team that you have to get through. For a lot of years, it was the Dodgers in the National League. The Braves finally broke through that in 2021 on their way to a World Series title. I mean, the Dodgers are going to be tough this year too. Take nothing away from them, but they don't look quite as strong as they've been over the past few years. But I could be eating crow on that because the Dodgers do a very nice job of getting all the complementary pieces and getting it all put together and winning 100-plus games every single year. So what do I know sitting here at home? But I do think that the Braves and the Astros are going to meet in the World Series, and I'd love a 7-game classic. I think that'd be all kinds of fun. And I think you know which team I'd like to see come out on top.
Yeah, no, if it's a boring pick, then I'm boring as well, because that's what I picked on yesterday's podcast. I'm with you. I just think those are on paper, and, you know, baseball's not played on paper. We got 162 games in postseason to get to that. But just on paper, I think those are the two best teams in all of baseball. And I would love to see that rematch. I know the Braves didn't give them a rematch last year, although that series here in Atlanta last year, I thought was one of the best played series all season, especially because Atlanta won the series. But, you know, I just think that would be a really great, I don't want to call it a trilogy because the Braves weren't there last year, but it just, you know, the Braves winning 2 years ago, the Astros last year, I would love to see those two meet again because I think they're both kind of in that window of, you know, quote unquote dynasties. I mean, I think you can definitely say that about the Astros at this point. I think the Braves are in that run. So I think it would be a lot of fun. Maybe it would be boring because we've seen those two teams over the last several years. But again, just on paper, I think those are the two best teams. And I picked the Dodgers to win the NL West. I feel like they're kind of giving me those Braves vibes now because everybody's praising the Padres and all the moves that they made, just like everybody does in the NL East when all the Mets and Phillies make all those moves. And I just feel like the Dodgers are going to kind of be that sleeping giant. I do think they don't have as much talent as they've had in the past, but they still have a lot of talent. But I think it's going to be interesting for sure. It's going to be a fun season. Again, if you're a Braves fan, I can't think of a more exciting time since those 90s to be a Braves fan. And this team is just going to be so exciting. So Grant, I can't wait to get into the season with you doing the postcast. Going to be a lot of fun. Any final thoughts for you as we head into opening day?
No, I think we covered an awful lot in a good amount of time here. I think you said earlier that your win total for this year, your prediction was 97. That was also my prediction on the other night. So we kind of lined up there. And that may not line up with what I said about it. I think this Braves club looks better than the one from last year or has a chance to be better. So why would they win less games? I just think it's going to be maybe a little bit tougher to win this year. We'll see what the whole 30 teams thing does. Not all of them are going to be great, but hey, the Braves are a well-constructed club. I do think that they've got everything it takes to win the NL East and make that deep run through October. So I'm excited to talk about it all season long, to do this Braves postcast and all of the fun other things that I'll have coming your way pretty much all season long. So yeah, follow me on social media and I'll have all the links there. But Jake, I'm excited about getting the postcast started on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thursday afternoon, make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Sports Atlanta on YouTube where you can get that postcast with me and Grant McCauley. You'll also get the audio version and the Locked On Braves podcast feed. So make sure you're subscribed in both those places. Going to be a fun season. Can't wait to get into it. So excited for opening day. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Thanks as always for making Locked On Braves your first listen of each and every day. Now go make your second listen, Locked On MLB, where you can hear Paul Francis Sullivan talk about all the teams and all the big stories from around the league. Again, thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. You can follow me at @ShortstopBall. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.